Today we are picking up in Exodus 3, and this is, again, we're talking about Moses here. So this is my grandbaby's favorite story in the world is Moses. So chapter 3, verse 1, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Now, if you remember, Moses had basically been adopted into an Egyptian family. He was a prince, but he killed somebody and then ran because he thought Pharaoh was going to kill him. So he ran and hid and ends up meeting this chick, and they get married, and this Jethro is his father-in-law. They called him by a different name in chapter 2, but it's Jethro, and you'll hear more about Jethro. So he had grown up a prince in a palace, and now here he is. He's run off into the wilderness, and he's tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. Now, that is interesting because if we go back and look at some of the things that we read in Genesis, sheep herders were detestable to Egyptians. So he's been raised to be an Egyptian who can't stand sheep herders, and now he is one. So although Moses was chosen of God, he still had to be humbled to be able to empathize with the Hebrew people. And from going from a prince to a shepherd would be pretty humbling, I would just imagine. Being a shepherd here to me is also symbolic of how he is going to lead his flock of people. So he's a shepherd to the sheep right here, but I think that's representative of him learning to shepherd people and to lead people. That's my opinion. And sometimes these lessons, well, they're just hard. You know, that was hard. He went from being all schmancy to dealing with sheep. That had to stink just a little bit, literally and physically. Verse 2, there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. So he gets in there and he gets a closer look. Now, again, picture it. There's a bush. There's fire coming out of the bush, but it's not drying up and brown and brittly and crinkling and falling apart. Picture it still being green, but flames coming out of it. Now, sometimes when you get some kind of sign from the Lord, you might take an ocean to run, but he wanted to get a closer look. And sometimes sometimes we just run when we see stuff, but he was drawn into that. He's like, okay, this is strange. I better check this out. So he gets a little closer. I think there's something to that. Get a little closer. Get a little closer to God here. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush. So now the bush starts talking. You got a green bush, all prettiful. Okay, picture it's green and all thriving, or maybe it's purple. I don't know, but it's alive and it's pretty and it's not dried up and brown. Flames are coming out of it. Now it commences to talk. Right there, some of us would have just gone ahead, grabbed up at the bottom of our skirt and run. Okay, I'm thinking I might have done it. But Moses says, here I am. And then verse 5, do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. So, in that time, taking your shoes off showed reverence. And so he's telling him, this is a holy place, so get your shoes off. In the Bible, a lot it talked about wearing sandals. It was dusty, it was dirty, your feet were dirty, and they would go in someone's house and wash their feet and all that. There was a whole mess of stuff going on about feet and being clean and such. So this is just a significance of recognizing that you're in a holy place. Then he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Y'all recognize those names? I sure hope so. We've been talking about them. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. So that's another level of reverence right there and respect. He didn't just roll up and go, hey, God, what's up? I mean, he had reverence. He's like, this is God. This is the God that I've heard about. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Levi and all, they had all, he'd come from this lineage and generations had talked about this God. And he didn't just go, oh, hey, how you doing? What's up? He didn't do that. He hid his face. He took off his sandals. He had some reverence for the Lord Almighty. And I think there's a lesson in that for us, that we don't need to just go, hey, God, you know, take care of me today. Why don't we go to him with a little bit of reverence? I'm not saying you can't talk to God all the time, but showing the reverence that he is, you wouldn't roll up to some queen and say, what's up, sis? Okay. So I think that's what's pointing out here. Verse 7, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them. I like that, I have come down. That if he came down, that means he was up. Okay, so that kind of gives us a, I don't know, that kind of tells me that's where the Lord's hanging out, is heaven. It's upward because he has come down. Either that or he's coming down to our level. But I like those words. To rescue them from the land of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. So, verse 10, I am sending you. That's pretty stinking clear, isn't it? I am sending you. There was, he just told him straight up. Now, remind you, this voice is coming out of a bush that is on fire. That's some stuff right there, okay? If you were wanting to doubt it, that's God, I think that would probably solve it for you right there. However, just know this. God made it. I'm not saying that a bush in your front yard is going to blow up and the Lord's going to talk to you that way. The Lord talks to people in the Bible, different ones, different ways, because he knows he has to get our attention. Sometimes he has to do something pretty desperate. This was a mighty big call that God was putting on Moses, so he had to really get his attention. But God speaks to us through his word, and he speaks to us through people, and he speaks in different ways. We just have to be ready and listening. So then he says in verse 11, Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He's already starting to question it and doubt it. And he's like, whoa, who am I to do this? I'm nobody. And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And that mountain, by the way, later on is where the Ten Commandments, where Moses is going to get the Ten Commandments, that same mountain. Verse 13, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your father has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? So, see, he's still asking questions like, wait a minute, who am I to go? Well, wait a minute, God, what if they don't believe me? But wait a minute, God, isn't that what we do? But wait a minute, I don't want to do that. That's hard. That's what we do with the Lord. Okay, that's what was going on here. God said to Moses, I am who I am. Now, if there is ever one you want to picture, you want to see that bush in your head and those flames coming out, and all of a sudden this just big roar of I am who I am. I can just hear it in my head. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Whew, that's good stuff. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I'm remembered from generation to generation. So God is reminding him, look, you've heard of me, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. I am that God. And that's what you tell them, is I've heard your cries and I'm a coming. Okay. And then if we go to, I think that's verse 15 through, all right, well, I'm coming to it. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. So verse 16, Go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you out and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of the misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. I just love that part. He said, I have watched over you. Yes, these poor Israelites are in slavery to the Egyptians here, but God has been watching over them. Sometimes you might be in dark, terrible times, but the Lord is still watching over you, and he's still preparing, and he's still planning for you. So, verse 18, the elders of Israel will listen to you. See, right here, God's telling him all these questions that Moses was having. He's saying, they will listen to you. Because he's setting it up. God's setting it up for him. They'll listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. Well, we know the mighty hand, don't we? So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. So he is already telling him, look, I'm going to be doing some miracles and doing some stuff, and it's going to line things up for you. Just hush up your doubting and let's go. Go get my people. 21, and I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward this people so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters. And so you will plunder the Egyptians. So God's telling them, look, I'm going to strike these Egyptian peoples with kind of smack them in the head where they just give you all their stuff because they're so glad that you're going. Okay, so God is preparing a way. And what we're to get from that is that God prepares a way. If he makes the call, he prepares the way. So in the beginning of this, Moses is humbled and he learns what it's like to be a shepherd, and he learns a lot about his people. And then God speaks to him through that bush in a mighty way. And then Moses is just like us. He starts questioning and doubting everything. But God's got all the answers. And God equips the call, and he purposely calls people that are unequipped because more glory goes to God when it goes that way. So this is just the beginning of what's going to go down with Moses. Very cool story, the Moses story. I hope that if God is calling you, that you'll be listening. And then remember this. He may not call you to be the Moses in the story. He might call you to be someone to support the Moses in the story. And whatever he calls you to do is just as important as being the Moses. Because it takes all of these people together. It takes everything together to make it all happened the way God sees fit. So be open and be listening and be willing to either be the leader or be the follower, but be a part of whatever God is calling. And you have a great day in the Lord.